Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, superhero fans across the multiverse, and citizens of Paragon and Millennium Cities, this is Paragon Radio. I'm your host, Pogo Man. It's a little bit past 8 p.m. Eastern, in the PM on a Monday night. And if you're like me, your weekend sucked. Your Monday's meh. So sit down, tune in with us, and maybe we could change your fortunes for the better. Or play the games, whichever one you're in. City of Heroes, Champions Online. But tune in to us for the next 90 minutes where we promise you your life will be that much better for doing it. But I'm not alone here in the Paragon Radio News Network satellite. No. I do have somebody to help me out. Some people say he's mad. Some people say he's a Viking. Some people say he snoozed a little too hard before the show. I don't know who said that one. But anyway, most of us just call him Mad Viking.
All right, hold on. I got to check. And turn around. Nope, I don't see it. We're not owned by Gearbox yet.
Okay, we're not owned by I didn't know that was an option. I didn't. That's some news to me. You'll have to fill me in on. All I know is, gee, do you have $44 billion sitting around? You too could own Twitter. Good Lord, yes. Elon Musk made it official today, Elon Musk on Twitter. He bought Twitter for a mere $44 billion. See, I want to make a social media page and then sell it off in a couple of years for billions of dollars.
Well, let me tell you about Gearbox. Gearbox okay. Officially has made the purchase and the transfer of ownership of the cryptic games of Champions, Neverwinter, and Star Trek Online. Damn. If you notice, well, on your launcher, it no longer says Cryptic, it says Gearbox Publishing.
Oh, well, welcome and hello to our new overlords.
Now, I want to point out something. I've been reading a lot of articles ever since, you know, the whole thing. I keep seeing they're excited about Star Trek. They're excited about Neverwinter.
Uh-oh. No, don't tell me. Don't tell me the kiss of death.
I haven't seen a word.
Maybe no. They just were really excited about us and they just forgot to mention us.
Like I said, all I've seen is a lot of Star Trek. I've seen a lot of Neverwinter. Now, to give you an idea who Gearbox is...
Yes.
Because,
weren't they a rock band from? Weren't they a punk rock band from the early 80s?
No.
Oh, that's Gearbox. Okay, never mind. They're Gearbox, and that's a European metal band, rock band. Never mind. Mentioned on Doctor Who. You have to pay.
Yep. Gearbox Software, Gearbox Publishing, basically a Canadian company. In which they are known for many. Okay, yes, I went right into.
Oh yeah, there it is. There, yeah. Yep. I just loaded the page gap. I didn't pay attention to that Gearbox publishing. Now wait a minute. How can they not be happy about this?
I'm not saying I'm happy. I'm just noticing the omittance.
Champions Online has one of the main zones is the Canadian wilderness.
Yeah. Anyway, to give you an idea, what games that they're best known for, Half-Life,
mm-hmm.
Brothers in Arms, Borderlands series, Duke Nukem, Aliens,
okay.
Battleborn, Homeworld,
okay.
And they've been buying a good size of the mid-level game publishers.
Okay, so they should like us.
Well, like I said, I didn't say they liked or did not like. I just said I have noticed the omittance of Champions in the articles. You know, it's Star Trek. It's Neverwinter.
I'm sorry. What was the last one?
Now, I'm not going to start ringing the death toll. Pointing out from what I'm seeing, if anyone has actually found an article that says, yes, we're going to do something about Champions, hopefully fix that damn game crash bug.
The game crashed. Yeah, it's about that. We're gonna fix it. Never. What? It was meant to be permanent. What? That's just wrong.
Yeah. So, like I said, that's all I've seen. I cannot say, you know, they're going to do something for champions. I can't say they're not. And one of the first questions I've seen in the forums: does this mean this is the sunset for champions? Huh? Right out of the gate.
Well, you know what this? Well, this goes. You know what's funny? This goes back to December 21st. There's an article. PWE and Cryptic have been bought out by Gearbox as Embracer Corp. Embracer Group. So, you know, let's see. So Star Trek Online, Neverwinter Champions Online, and the Torchlight franchise are along for the ride.
Right. Now it's all official.
Right. Okay. Now it's official. Okay. PWE's next launch is planned in 2022 with 5 additional releases by 2024. Okay. Let's see, PW's next one. It's likely that the 2022 launch is the Torchlight mobile title, Torchlight Infinite, which opened beta signups December 20th, and we don't know what the other 5 games are yet. Okay, I'm just quoting the article here. It doesn't sound as if there will be dramatic changes to the existing games, fingers crossed. In any case, the STO team addressed the sell-off to the players this morning, with the Neverwinter and Champs teams posting a similar missive. In terms of the day-to-day operations of STO, blah, 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 very little will change, if anything at all. The team is not changing, the leadership of both STO and Cryptic Studios is not changing, and the team who was previously at PWE, now Gearbox, is unchanging as well. Basically, you should see very little difference once this deal goes through and how our game runs, dot, dot, dot. There are no plans to sunset Star Trek Online right now. Now, remember, he's just speaking for Star Trek Online, nothing about Champions right. Online or Neverwinter.
Right.
So.
But, you know, all the other articles I've seen, they talk about Star Trek, and they talk about Neverwinter.
Yeah. Well, here's some news. I guarantee you we'll be around through Friday. And that's important that we're here through Friday, because this Friday, once again, is our favorite event, a dev costume contest.
Yes.
The
festival.
And this one's a doozy.
Doofuses. Yeah.
The Legion of Doofuses costume contest. And right away, I'm thinking clown. So here we go. Millennium City is filled with menacing and terrifying villains that terrorize society. Just their very names strike fear into the hearts of their bravest. But what about the villains who strike fear into exactly zero hearts? Those that leave our heroes in stitches, but not in the hospital. That's what we want to see from you in the month, in this month's costume contest. Champions brings us the most useless supervillain you have. Champions bring us the most useless supervillain you have. We'll be doing a live stream costume contest on April 29th, judged by some of the developers that work on Champions Online. Head to the Powerhouse Theater to participate. Judging begins at 3:30 p.m. Pacific time, or server time, is the same thing, and the contest begins at 4 or 7 p.m. Eastern. You can watch the show live on the Champions Online Facebook page or on our Twitch channel. There will be 3 winners and 10 runner-ups. Here's how the prizes break down. Our top three will win a contest special item voucher, a contest heroic item voucher, a contest honorable item voucher, and 2 dev tokens, a unique title that says unremarkable. And 10 honorable mentions will win. Item vouchers and 2 dev tokens. And everyone who participates will receive the title Amateur Hour. So make your most useless hero. I mean, you know, you could go to like some of Batman's, his rogues gallery. I'm thinking like Condiment Man, Man.
I got it better. It's one of these
three. The calculator.
Three. No. One of these three. Gene, the Dancing Machine, the Unknown Comic, or Chuck Barris, the Gong Show.
I was going to say, didn't we talk about the Gong Show last week? Did we talk about them last week? Okay, then Rose Voucher.
I really liked it, but then again, I like moldy bread. All right, next act here we got coming up. You got to do
the Heroic Voucher. More, and after these commercials, more stuff to come. The Heroic Voucher will offer you a choice of rare lockbox costumes from the past, while the Honorable Voucher will offer you a choice of rare individual costume pieces from lockboxes of the past. We'll see you at the Powerhouse Theater of Champions. Remember, that's this Friday. You know, I'm going to say 3:30. It starts 6:30 and 7 p.m. Eastern, but from past experience, people start showing up at 3 p.m. Eastern. And about 4 p.m. Eastern, they all start going like this. Wasn't the judging supposed to start already? Right? No. It's 4 p.m. server time. How do I find that? It's Pacific time. How do I know what that is? Oh, it's add 3 hours. Are you on the East Coast? Yeah. You never knew. How old are you? None of your business. And you
under
don't 21. Know.
Gotcha.
Yes. I'm gonna say under 12, under 10, because they don't know how to time zones. All right. If you're on the East Coast, add or subtract 3 from whatever time it is right now, and that's what time it is on the Pacific time zone. Yes, which means you have whatever time it says Pacific time, you have to add 3 hours to the East Coast time, and that's what time it starts. So when it says 3:30 p.m. Pacific, that means it's got to be 6:30 p.m. Eastern and 7 p.m. Eastern for the actual, you know, Twitch stream to start. So judging will be 3:30 p.m. Pacific / server time, or 6:30 p.m. Eastern. Now, I just realized something. Server time is Pacific, yet Millennium
right.
City is built on the ruins of Detroit. Detroit is central, I thought.
No, I do believe it's Eastern.
I got to look this up.
Hold on,
Detroit?
Time zone?
I'm pretty sure it's central.
It is Eastern.
It is? Okay, so they should be in ours. No wonder people get confused. Wait a minute. We're on the ruins of Detroit, and that's Eastern time. What the hell's going on? No wonder people get confused. What the hell
there
is this shit?
The server time traveler. There you go.
That's right. Hot summer for you.
Doctor who? Doctor what?
I know. Doctor huh? Who? What's up? You're not making no sense to me.
And you could pat it yourself after the doctor that was after Tom Baker.
That's right. What do I know? I just work here. And then, of course, the immortal question we must ask. But what about Zoidberg?
Zoidberg. You can have a Zoidberg. Hey, look at me. Look at me. Look at me. Don't look at me.
Okay, we won't. We tried to, and then we decided no, and we didn't. All right. Yeah.
Like I said, yeah, we know we're going to go all the way to Friday. That's no problem. But like I said, every article
it's Saturday. It's after that we're worried about.
Yeah. So it's going like, okay, didn't mention a word of Champions. You talk Star Trek, you talk Neverwinter. Nothing. And in this article, it's the same thing. meanwhile, every City of Hero veteran is going like, we've been here before.
Yeah. We know how this works. Everybody shows up at the same time.
just as you get home from work, hey, how you doing? We're shutting down, huh? Literally, that's how it was. It was after work, sat down, get on the game. It's like, hey, how you doing? Okay, you going to do this? Yeah, we're going to do this here. Mass announcement. We are going to be shutting down in 90 days.
Yep. Now I remember that one. I've been through that already. Well, we've been through that already. So we don't want that again.
The only thing that's going to be different for me, worst case scenario does happen, I won't be able to do what I did with City of Heroes. Because we all just got the news. We're all right now bummed out and pissed off and all the notions are coming through. And the first thing I see, is the gold spammer.
Oh, jeez. Yes.
Anyway.
Yeah, it's like, dude, why do we need you at this point?
It was like immediately I started typing, made sure it was in, so everyone else could see this. You announced they're closing the game. Tell the Korean jailer, because at the time being, you remember, everything came from that Korean, that North Korean area where there was a jail.
That's right.
They're shutting it down.
We don't need this.
There was a lot of applause and a lot of laughter.
That's right. That's what it should have been.
Sometimes you just got to go for the asshole in you. And that was that moment.
Sometimes not being an asshole, it's just, you got to. You got to tell them how it is.
But like I said, in all honesty, though, I'm not going to do a death toll. We may joke about it, but that's as far as it will go.
Right.
If it does happen, don't blame us when we do the jokes.
That's right.
Cover it right there. There you go.
We're just doing jokes. They're just jokes.
Mm-hmm.
That's all they are. That's all they're meant to be.
Yeah,
that's why
exactly.
this show's category is entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
Entertainment.
If we wanted to be serious, then we would be serious. But we're not serious.
Why so serious?
Why so serious?
Yeah.
I still say, I still say Mark Hamill's the voice of the Joker. That's it.
He is. Quite so. All right. So, we have some lovely news to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
News around the world of superherodom. I picked some choice news to talk about. So, this is from the 21st, and this is from Netflix. It seems that Netflix has canceled plans to make Bright 2, the sequel. Now, hold on now. Let me begin. Now, several upcoming Will Smith projects have reportedly been shelved after the King Richard star slapped Chris Rock on stage during last month's Academy Awards telecast. Well, justifiably, because you don't do those things. It's in the... Now, it looks like we could add Bright 2 to that list. Bloomberg reporter Lucas Shaw says that Netflix has canceled plans for a sequel to David Ayer's 2017 fantasy flick. Shaw tweeted the Bright 2 news to accompany an earlier Bloomberg story about National Geographic delaying production on its upcoming pole-to-pole docuseries, which also featured Smith. That show will now begin shooting in the fall. However, Shaw was quick to add that Bright 2's cancellation is unrelated to what happened at the Oscars.
Good answer.
Uh-huh. The original Bright starred Smith as Daryl Ward.
It's up there.
That's right. An LAPD detective in a world where magic is real and humans go survey says, coexist with various mystical creatures. One of these creatures, Nick Jacoby, played by Joel Edgerton, becomes the country's first orc police officer and partners with Daryl to protect an elf girl and the magic wand in her possession. Louis Leterrier, I guess I say the Incredible Hulk, entered negotiations to replace Ayer as the director of Bright 2 in 2020. Ayer was going to stay on as a producer and work on the script with Evan. Okay, fucking, I can't say that last name. Jesus Christ. Spilotopoulos. Jeez. And T.S. Nolan. Regardless, news of the sequel's fate isn't bound to make waves. The first film received overwhelmingly negative reviews when it premiered on Netflix more than 3 years ago. The movie screenwriter, Max Landis, was also accused of sexual and emotional abuse by 8 different women. Well, the emotional abuse, okay, but the sexual abuse?
I'm sorry.
Let me get
this straight. You know, they're talking about Will, because it's Will Smith. I'm going like, and the movie tanked, and you had a sexual harasser. And
No, I'm sorry. Oh, no. I'm reading that wrong. I thought he was abused by 8 different women. He abused 8 different women. That makes more sense. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Never mind. Scratch that. I'm thinking in total opposite. I'm like, sorry, I didn't mean to go all. I was awing because I thought he was accusing you. I'm like, how the hell can 8 women? What the? Sorry, I read that totally wrong. My bad. No. All right, that's horrible. That is a horrible thing. All right. Despite this, Netflix still released an anime spinoff, Bright, Samurai Soul, last October. Smith resigned from the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences after it took place. He didn't resign. He was fired. He's been banned for over a decade.
No. He did. He resigned, and then he was kicked out.
Right, because he says, "I hope you'll still have me." And they went, and everybody looked at him and says,
"No,
bro, nah, ain't gonna happen. Nah, you know the trophy you just got? Yeah, you know, and announcement went over when you went to the bathroom.
A trophy.
No, I'm joking.
Yeah."
Yeah, and that's one out. If anybody sees Will Smith, please ask him to return his trophy. And that's when he grabbed Jade and said, "Let's get the fuck out of here, bitch. This is your fault." Sure, go snap him.
Jada is... there goes loyalty, you know, the wife on that one, if you've been seeing some of the articles.
I think they're going to get divorced over there. I mean, I know they've had, and the funny thing is, they've had so many marital problems before this happened. Like, what the fuck are you doing? Great. She just caught you. She's probably laughing her ass off. He ain't going to be in the Academy Awards. He ain't going to get Academy Awards the next decade.
Now, there was a video that she did herself while he was going into I don't want to say rehab, but you know, some kind of form of therapy thing.
Right.
And it's like it's either she was mocking him or we're talking the ultimate whooped.
Well, mocking
Will Smith.
Look, she mocked Will Smith for doing
right
something after she told him to? Wow,
yeah.
That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous.
It's still out there, you know, for you to see. I'm just going like,
well,
you know,
you're not going to believe this one. I was going to say really quick to finish this up. Earlier this month, also Netflix put another Smith film, Fast and Loose, on the back burner, and there's a fourth entry in the Bad Boys franchise that was planned, and that's reportedly on hold as well now.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well.
Mr. Smith. See?
Well, to paraphrase Chris Tucker, damn, guess we're not going to see him in MIB4.
Well, technically, that was international. That was Men in Black International. And we didn't see him in number 4.
But actually, there was a picture, an art-drawn portrait of him and Tommy Lee Jones in that movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, okay. Okay. That's right. Okay. Okay. Very good. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's that time for updates.
Well, hold on. I got some. Okay. You want to do updates or want me to keep going with the news for a little bit? I got a couple more stories to do here.
Okay. Well, all right. We'll do news and then you get to start. Because I started last week.
Okay. Okay. So Sony has pushes Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse to 2023, but they have set a date for Madam Web. So if you're looking forward to seeing Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse later this year, well, bad news. The most recent release date was going to be October 7, 2022. However, Sony Pictures has now pushed the Into the Spider-Verse sequel back to June 2, 2023. Additionally, the film no longer has Part 1 as part of the title. Regardless, Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse Part 2 is still happening. It will now be released in theaters on March 29th, 2024. Huh? As seen in the last fall's preview, Across the Spider-Verse will pick up shortly after the events of Into the Spider-Verse. We know that Miles Morales and Gwen Stacy will reunite early in the film. The preview also confirmed that Spider-Man 2099, a.k.a. Miguel O'Hara, will have a bigger role in the sequel. The other major news out of Sony today is that the Madam Web movie now has a release date. According to Sony, it will hit theaters on July 7th, 2023. That film is based upon a very obscure Spider-Man supporting character who has never even had her own comic book series. Dakota Johnson has already signed on to play Madam Web, which suggests that Sony may go with Julia Carpenter, the successor of the original Madam Web in the comics. Sydney Sweeney will also star in the movie in an undisclosed role. For the moment, Sony's Kraven the Hunter remains perched on January 13th, 2023, but that could always change, especially in light of today's news. So, they're pushing back the movie from 2022 to 2023 for no reason other than to put three Spider-Man-related movies out in 2023, including a minor character that hardly anybody's ever heard of.
Remember when deadlines were met no matter what? Pepperidge Farm remembers.
Holy mackerel. Well, here's some news you might like. I know I like. I think a lot of people like this one. The original TMNT, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, voice cast returns for Shredder's Revenge video game.
Mm-hmm.
So the upcoming video game, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Shredder's Revenge, doesn't exactly hide its influences. It's an updated take on Konami's Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles arcade games, both of which were based on the original TMNT animated series from 1987. And although 35 years have passed since the series premiered, the four actors who voiced the turtles on that show are making a comeback.
Mm-hmm.
IGN is reporting that Cam Clark will reprise his role as Leonardo alongside Townsend Coleman as Michelangelo, Barry Gordon as Donatello, and Rob Paulsen as Raphael. Additionally, IGN debuted the first 11 minutes of gameplay, which looked very familiar to anyone who ever played the Konami games. The first half of the video follows Leonardo and Michelangelo as they pursue Bebop through the Channel 6 news building. Note that Vernon Fenwick is held hostage in the background. That's a role that was typically filled by April O'Neil on the show. However, April is now a playable character in this game, and she probably won't be kidnapped this time. The turtle sensei Splinter is also a playable character. For the second half of the video, Raphael and Donatello take the spotlight as they catch up with Rocksteady. Again, the stage is very similar to the second area from Konami's first TMNT game. There's even a callback to Turtles in Time when the guys toss a foot soldier towards the screen. TMNT Shredder's Revenge will hit PlayStation 4, Xbox One, Nintendo Switch, and PC later this year. We're getting the band back together.
And the thing is, Rob Paulsen is the only one that everyone recognizes.
Yes. Well, he's done other things. Okay. If you were paying attention to news last week, this is from Tuesday, the Flash star, Ezra Miller, was arrested again in Hawaii. less than a month after being arrested at a karaoke bar in Hawaii, why not? Ezra Miller has once again landed in trouble with Hawaii's police. Deadline reports that Miller was arrested earlier this morning for second-degree assault in Pahoa, Hawaii. According to a statement from the Hawaii Police Department, Miller was taken into custody at around 1:30 a.m. following an incident at a home in Pahoa. Officers claim that Miller, quote-unquote, became irate after being asked to leave the residence and allegedly threw a chair, which struck a 26-year-old woman in the forehead and resulted in a half-inch cut. Miller was later found and arrested during a traffic stop at the intersection of Highway 130 and Kukula Street. Miller was released from custody at 4:05 a.m., but the investigation is still underway. On March 28th, Miller was arrested after visiting a karaoke bar in Hilo, Hawaii. The actor reportedly began yelling obscenities while other patrons were singing on stage. The matters escalated when Miller grabbed a microphone from a woman who was singing and later lunged at a man playing darts. Police eventually charged Miller with harassment and disorderly conduct. Miller's latest antics could very well prompt Warner Brothers to act ahead of The Flash's release next year. The studio reportedly held an emergency meeting last month to evaluate his future as a Scarlet Speedster in future DC projects. Warner Brothers declined to comment on Miller's latest arrest. Regardless, The Flash remains scheduled to hit theaters on June 23rd, 2023. Okay, two things. One, Grant Gustin's available. Two, if I'm Warner Brothers, I have him locked under surveillance on the lot. He gets a double-wide trailer. You can't leave. And you can't go to any more karaoke bars. What the hell is wrong with you?
Now the big question. What was the song that was being sung? Do you really want
like
to hurt me? Yes!
Yes, yes. Obviously, he didn't like it. It was horrible. He couldn't stand it. Good Lord.
What would you do if I sang out of tune? Will you stand up and walk out at me? No!
I'm just going to beat you up. We got a Billy Idol in back of us. A thug. I did give him over here. Oh, from Paragon Dawn. He's one of ours. Okay. I'm like, who are these people? All right, a few more stories, and we'll do our updates, and then we'll get on, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah, so, okay, Stranger Things news. The creators tease Vecna is season 4's mysterious new villain. Vecna. Last week, Stranger Things 4 trailer was loaded with tons of new footage from the upcoming episodes. However, the preview saved its biggest surprise for last. In its closing moments, a new otherworldly creatures showed up to give the Mind Flayer and Demogorgon a run for their money as the series' most terrifying adversary yet. Creators Matt and Ross Duffer have since confirmed that this character's name is Vecna, continuing Stranger Things' long-running tradition of naming villains after Dungeons and Dragons fixtures. Now, we have a better idea of what to expect when he makes his small-screen debut next month. Several cast and crew members tease Vecna's backstory in a new interview with Entertainment Weekly. The Duffers previously claimed that the character was brought to life with 90% practical effects, but according to prosthetics designer Barry Gower, his humanoid appearance is no coincidence. It also sounds like Vecna has a connection to Creel House, a key new location in Stranger Things 4. In fact, his main base of operations is the Upside Down's version of the mansion's attic, which means he might have had something to do with the house's former occupant, Victor Creel, played by Robert Englund. Wow, talk about 80s flash. Ooh, the 80s connections here. Committing a gruesome murder in the 1950s, Creel has been locked up in a psychiatric hospital ever since. But as the show's young cast discover more about his violent legacy, they find themselves at a disadvantage, namely, why am I adding T's onto everything I'm saying? What is wrong with my mouth today? Good Lord. I need your mouth. I need new teeth. Namely, 11 isn't there to lend a hand. What? Part of the drive and tension of the season is that we have this big new evil emerge in Hawkins, and for the first time ever, 11 is not there, explained Ross Duffer. And not only is she separated by distance, but at the end of season 3, she's lost her powers. So even when she learns about what has happened in Hawkins, she isn't able to help them in the same way she has before. Stranger Things 4 will premiere on Netflix on May 27th. Wasn't it supposed to premiere on July 4th?
Mm-hmm.
They moved it up. I guess people.
Deadlines were kept. Pepperidge Farm remembers.
That's right. It was out last July 4th. It was supposed to premiere. I don't know, but it's premiering soon. Just about a month away, kids. So as soon as I heard Vecna, I'm like, are they going to look for the hand in the eye of Vecna? All right.
That's what I'm thinking, yeah.
Thor, Love and Thunder, teaser updates us on the characters we love. So it's finally here. After several merchandise leaks and reveals and a non-coincidental advance of tomorrow's... All right, well, when was this from? This is from last Monday, I think, after we went on air. So from last Tuesday's Hasbro live stream, the first Thor Love and Thunder teaser hath arrived. Plot-wise, It doesn't tell us much we don't already know. Thor, Valkyrie, Korg, and the Guardians of the Galaxy seem to be in situations that simply feel like logical continuations of where the story left them. But Jane's looking all new and almighty. Fans divided on whether Fat Thor was a convincing depiction of depression or an unkind joke last time. One thing's for certain. That level of realistic prosthetics costs more than simply sending Chris Hemsworth back to the gym. So, of course, Thor must retain his fighting shape as well. And given director Taika Waititi's affinity for classic heavy metal, Guns N' Roses just makes for natural gym music. Yes, it does, because back in the day, Appetite for Destruction was on my tape deck. Yes, I had a Walkman and before CDs back when I was a sophomore, between freshman and my sophomore year of college, Appetite for Destruction was on my CD Walkman. Aside from making it clear that all the major characters Thor hung with last time stuck around, including Korg, of course, does not much sense of what the new plot is. Obviously, Jane now wields Mjolnir, but we'll have to wait to find out. Anything much about villain Gore the God Butcher? The continued tension between Thor and Star Wars should make for some interesting fan extrapolations. There's also a new poster. And in it, you know, it shows Chris Hemsworth in shape. He's got a t-shirt on, but he doesn't look like Fat Thor. So, and this is going to hit July 8th. Okay.
Right.
I think I have one more. I had to see. It's Zack Snyder news. Because people are out crying that they want to restart the Zack Snyderverse. I don't know why. But Zack Snyder, he has shared photos from Rebel Moon's first day of filming. While there are still fans who call for Zack Snyder's return to the DC Extended Universe, the director seems to be more than satisfied to work on his original films for Netflix. His next movie, Rebel Moon, is a sci-fi story with an impressive cast. Now the film is finally shooting, and Snyder has shared a few pictures from the first day of production. The primary picture from Snyder's suite is the first look at Demon Hansu as General Titus. There are also two pictures of a spaceship exterior that combines a practical set with some CGI elements. Specific details about Hansu's character are scarce, but presumably General Titus is under the command of the tyrant known as Belisarius, played by Rupert Friend. Sophia Boutella will star in the film as Cora, a young woman who lives on a peaceful colony planet. When Belisarius' forces threaten her home, the woman leaves her world behind to find allies who could help her people. Essentially, it's the same basic plot as Seven Samurai, The Magnificent Seven, and Battle Beyond the Stars. You know what's funny? Before I read that sentence, I was thinking the same exact thing when I read the plot. I'm like, wait, that's Battle Beyond the Planets. The key difference is that Snyder has plans beyond a single film. Ooh. Ray Fisher is also starring in the film as a resistance fighter named Blood Axe. You know, because with a name like Blood Axe, what other jobs can you possibly get? Yes, I'm a head librarian here. My name is Blood X. Huh? Yeah, honey, we have to talk to our accountant tomorrow, Blood X. Nah, it doesn't. The movie will also feature Charlie Hunnam, oh, formerly from Sons of Anarchy, and Jenna Malone, Michael Huseman, Corey Stroll, Carrie Ellis, Stuart Martin, Alfonso Herrera, Bay Donna, and Charlotte Maggie. However, the specific roles haven't been revealed yet. Snyder is directing Rebel Moon from a script he co-wrote with Shay Hatton and Kurt Johnstead. Netflix hasn't set a premiere date for the film yet. Okay, and that's all the news we have.
All right. Let's see if that's we can speed through the updates.
Well, we don't got to speed through them. We got 15 minutes. So, okay, mine is, okay, I have one here from, okay, I'm starting first with City of Titans, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yep. And this is one, I didn't know they had a Twitch show, but Twitch Review 2022, this is City of Titans. Okay, we enjoy, oh my God, I can't talk tonight. We enjoy taking the opportunity to share as much of the making of City of Titans with you as we can. Unfortunately, a lot of the development process just isn't very visual. Coding isn't vital. But frankly, it's not the most interesting thing. I'm sorry. Coding is vital. I was like, wait, that didn't make sense. I can't talk. I can't talk to my kids. I'm sorry. Coding is vital. But frankly, it's not the most interesting thing to watch. Fortunately, we have a member of our art team who's not only busy making things for City of Titans, but is quite happy letting you watch while he does it. For those of you who might not have heard the name before, Mr. Armstrong is our primary costume creator. He streams on Twitch several days a week, and while he works, you can often get a sneak peek at new costume pieces. He's also happy to answer questions and explain how the design process works during his streams. You can find his Twitch live streams at www.twitch.tv/Mr. Armstrong. Mr. Armstrong, I'm sorry. Now I can't read. God help me. I said this earlier at physical therapy. Do you know what's worse than a really bad weekend?
What was that?
A Monday.
Yep. No argument for me.
That's right. If your schedule doesn't allow for live streams, he also posts the replays of his YouTube channel at youtube.com/C/Armstrong Arts/videos. Again, that's youtube.com/Armstrong Arts/videos. So you can watch when you have the opportunity. He has been streaming for a while now, and that means he's built up a bit of a back catalog. We invite you to check out all of his past streams, but for now, we're going to take a few minutes and highlight some of the more notable streams from the last few months. To help you find what you're most interested in, we'll be giving you a short summary and time codes for each video. We'll start off by going back just after the beginning of the year on a stream featuring a first look at two of our signature NPCs outfits for street-level villains, Anarchy Red, and a few other costuming pieces that you'll be seeing in the Avatar Builder in the near future. So, let's see here. Anthem at 157 through 245. I don't know if that's hour, minutes, or minutes, seconds. Anarchy Red at 247 to 253. Dr. Taiki at 254 to 456. All right, these have to be minutes and seconds. So,
mm-hmm.
All right, Fantasy Dress at 4 minutes, 57 seconds to 5 minutes, 29 seconds. Finished Heart Armor at 5.5 minutes to 6 minutes, 22 seconds. Memory at 6 minutes, 23 seconds to 6 minutes, 50 seconds. And Skirts and Arts at 6 minutes, 51 seconds to 8 minutes and 4 seconds. The next stream features a discussion of texturing 3D model pieces and a demonstration while making a suit of light combat armor. Okay, this was, this is minutes. And light power armor goes from 3 minutes to the 48 minute, 57 second mark. Then he does something with short pants. And that starts at the 15-minute, 51-second thing to a 1 hour, 26 minutes, and 14 seconds. This is what it says. Short pants at 50 minutes, 51 seconds to 1 hour, 26 minutes, and 14 seconds.
Everyone's
and sometimes
talking about
things got a little
slow. Got my short pants. Got my short pants on.
I don't know. I'm glad they weren't long pants because it took them almost 45 minutes to it took them 45 minutes to do something with them. But anyway, so, okay. So then does something silly. So the next thing he does, bunny ears. Yes, bunny ears at 17 minutes, 51 seconds.
They're trying to get the bunny night girls.
maybe. And that goes through 17 minutes, 51 seconds to the 1 hour, 12 minute, 50 second mark. Even simple items are more complicated than they look in this stream about making face masks from start to finish. So he starts at the 12 minutes and 3 second mark and goes to the 1 hour, 3 minute, 5 second mark. Yes, 48 minutes on a face mask. And some costume pieces just don't cooperate at all in this stream about hair. In episode 36, we're going hair texturing at 9 minutes, 6 seconds to the 1 hour, 27 minute, 35 second mark. And finally, not everything goes wrong. In fact, some things go very right. To close things out, we have a live fly-through of the Alexandria map showing off the work of our entire city design team. And that is episode 27 live stream. And it starts at 2 minutes, 30 seconds, and continuing for an hour, you can see the Alexandria map as it appears in the live game engine and a demonstration of the environmental system that will help bring the city to life. These are just a few of the over 24 live streams Art Strong has done for City of Titans. We'll be bringing you more as work continues, and we're looking forward to your streams once the game goes live. If you have 3D character modeling or rigging experience or are familiar with the ZBrush and Substance Painter tool sets or are interested in joining our volunteer team, you can contact them at contact@missingworldsmedia.com. As always, we encourage you to check out Art Strong's YouTube channel at youtube.com/artstrongarts/featured. And you can watch a stream live at twitch.tv/MrArchStrong on Mondays, Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Sundays starting at 9 p.m. Eastern U.S. time. And if you decide to do it Monday night, wait till after we go off the air at 9:30. However, we don't advise Mondays because we have – and what comes on after us tonight?
Well, on Dawn Radio, it will be the Greatest Generation podcast.
Exactly. And me, I go and watch Monday Night Raw. But anyway – I had a long weekend. I actually did research for this show. Hold on. And now, with that update out of the way, we give it to Mr. Mad Mike.
Been talking about Pogo's favorite game update of Ship of Heroes.
How dare you? How dare you? I just said I had a horrible weekend and a bad day. Bring that up.
And they're talking about player housing beta. It'll take place from May 5th to May 8th. The 8th feature beta will be open to the public.
They have 3 days of testing housing. That's it. For 3 days, you get a house.
Yeah.
After that, you're back on the
street. Beta testers will be able to create or reuse a character, roam Apotheosis City, and create player housing. The event is free. Registration is open. Here's the news. And remember, City of Heroes is now picked up the drinking game.
Oh, I'm ready.
Okay, here we go.
Yes. When they do something and I go, take a swig.
Yep.
Chug it down.
Here we go. Our current player housing Our current player housing reflects its location of Apotheosis City. It is urban housing. Whether you want to create a fancy high-rise apartment with a killer view of the city, a place that feels like a log cabin in the woods, or something so unique that it defies all labels, you will find many, many, many options to choose from. Yes, I go right to the common lasard. As with the creator tool, you have a lot of freedom to customize. You choose your layout. It is not assigned to you, regardless of your level. There are currently 8 basic layouts, from a tiny studio to a huge hall suitable for an entire guild, or for almost anything else you can imagine. Some layouts are flat, while others have multiple stories. But don't be fooled into thinking that this will limit your creativity much. You can add walls anywhere you want to change the internal layout. Doors now range from modern and contemporary to barn doors to bunker doors. Wait a minute. Modern, contemporary, comma, to barn doors, comma, to bunker doors. That's a drink.
Yeah, that's a...
Frank.
I say take a double on that one. I think for now, the first mistake is a double.
Yep. And, of course, you'll be able to select patterns, textures, and colors for floors, stairs, walls, and ceilings. A bare building is a much
that's okay.
of a home. A bare building is much of a home, so feel free to add some furnishing and trophies. Furnishings can be customized as well. They can be placed anywhere, not just on a grid, resized, and recolored. Objects can be stretched in any individual direction to create a new look, from tall cabinets to lower footlockers, for example. There is no limit on colors available. Objects may have primary, secondary, and tertiary colors, depending on the object. Some even have an option to change materials. We are in the process of adding more items to the current collection of furnishings. You can tell us what you'd like to see in the forums. Creative use of the three rotation modes, pitch, roll, and yaw, can turn rugs into wall hangings, tables into hanging shelves, digital monitors into table control panels. The possibilities are endless. Looking to set the right mood in your lair? Then the right lighting is essential. You can set the level of lighting from light to dark and choose colors for the ambient light and different light sources like lamps. There are very unusual features in MMOs. Lamps are unusual features in MMOs? Okay.
Well, it depends what they look like.
For those who want to have a smoky haze in part of their secret lair, we have options for that too. Lonely in your apartment? Oh, no. Not anymore. You can be greeted by your pet or your mechanical pet after a hard day's work. In the poll on which pets you would like to add next. Okay. That got me nervous, I will tell you. This is all very cool, but can you afford it? For the beta, you will have more than enough dust, the end-game currency, to spend lavishly on your creation. A dude just came to mind here. The spice. The spice is life.
Hold on. He who controls the spice controls the universe.
After launch, we are currently thinking of offering housing for rent and for purchase at a higher but still affordable price. Yes, we're going to build big buildings, big rooms. It's going to be huge. It's going to be great. It's going to be wonderful. You can participate in discussions on this habit in the forums. Finally, I want to give a big thank you to the volunteer testers in the closed beta. We are grateful for these very helpful views, and we have already implemented most of the suggestions to fix all the bugs they found. We rely on the input of our community to develop a game players will enjoy and are now seeking feedback from our community at large. Please register for the heaven. Yeah. All right. One drink. So.
Okay. That's why I said make it a double, just in case.
All right. So let's see. City of Titans, you're working on bunny ears.
That's
and
right.
Short pants. And Ship of Heroes is working on housing, which will be great, will be huge. All right, it's that time once again.
That's right, okay. Which is funny, I wish we were on the other book, but we still have only in this one. So this Friday, we'll be dealing with the villains. But for now, that's right, ladies and gentlemen, through the annals of history, there have been many great heroes. Most of the X-Men. Most of the Avengers. Possibly the Fantastic Four. Spider-Man, the Justice League, the good one, not the one from the 80s. Oh, come on now.
Oh, not just
Green Lantern Corps.
No, not that. No, no, no.
No, 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 not Justice League International either. No, no, no. You know,
no, they were good
so
comic
those
relief. No, no, no. That's
what I mean.
They were Sunday comics. They were Sunday comics.
Right, right, right. But these are the ones we go, huh? How? Why? Yes, they are the half-baked heroes from comic book history. They are members of the League of Regrettable Superheroes. See, I really wish I had an echo thing, because at that moment when I say the name of the team, it should have an echo. Okay, I had a thing.
You had a thing?
I had a bookmark in here for the first one. Oh, it's right here. Oh, dude, it's right here. Okay, so this first one was created by Dave Wood and Jim Mooney. It debuted in the House of Mystery of number 156, DC Comics, January 1966. I'm not sure I'm on the right one. Hold on, just checking. I didn't jump far ahead. I jumped far ahead. I'm on the wrong page. Hold on, I am too far ahead. I should be there. Hold on, scratch that. There I am, there. I did fine. Okay, I did. Okay.
Okay.
Never mind. This first one, I was like, wait, 1966, that's a Silver Age, that's the second entry. So this first one, rather, sorry. And the bad Monday continues. This was created by Robert Kaniger and Louis Firsted. Debuted in The Bouncer, unnumbered issue, Fox Features, 1944. Headquarters, The Bouncy Castle. Not really, but wouldn't that be great? I speak of The Bouncer. He says, call me the bouncer because I bounced the laziness out of your soul. Oh, boy. Okay. Even among the wild and weird fraternity of absurd superheroes, the bouncer is a genuine oddball. His superpower, bouncing. His secret identity, a statue. And his sidekick, his own descendant. The Bouncer is the mythological figure Antaeus, spelled A-N-T-A-E-S in the comic. In the Greek, he has a U in there too. Who once wrestled Hercules. This version not only draws strength from the earth, as in the original legend, but also is capable of rebounding from any fall like a rubber ball. Furthermore, this talent is passed on to his progeny throughout the generations. Fast forward to the modern day, when Antaeus' latest descendant, Adam Antaeus Jr., wants nothing to do with adventure. Still smarting from a controversial career as a collegiate athlete, his semi-divine bouncing ability made him a natural at the high jump, and the hurdles were a piece of cake. But his supernatural athleticism also made him the target of detractors and skeptics. Adam decides to retire from physical labor. Yes, it's the quiet cerebral life of a sculptor for Adam Jr. But when his friend and embattled district attorney, John Manley, is threatened by a luminous and ruthless criminal named the Glowworm, adventure comes calling. Without warning, one of Jr.'s own sculptures of his mythological ancestor comes to life and drags his great-great-great, etc., grandson into battle, the two of them bounding and leaping their way to victory against evil. The Bouncer and his contemporary partner make for quite a spectacle. Antaeus the Elder remains decked out in a purple toga and sandals he wore in ancient times, while Antaeus Jr. apparently can't be bothered to change out of his work clothes. The apathetic sculptor bounces into action, still wearing his plaster-splattered smock and, of course, beret. He is an artist, after all. Besides bizarre enemies like the Glowworm and Mr. Lucifer, a circus clown who insists he's the devil, the Bouncer had another interesting gimmick. He invited his readers to join him on his adventures. Youngsters were asked to send in photos and descriptions of themselves, along with parental consent. Two entries were chosen every month to enter the Comics Hall of Fame as the Bouncer's guest stars, drawn into the adventures with Antaeus Jr. and his high-stepping predecessor. All told, it was an interesting ploy, particularly for a character who already possessed more gimmickry than most.
Bouncy, 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 na 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 na. Bouncy, 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 na 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 na. Those White Sox who knows that tune.
That's right. Now, what's funny is for my next entry, instead of putting it right back where it should have been, I put it on the index page. So, okay, here we are. This next one, as I was saying earlier, was created by Dave Wood and Jim Mooney. It debuted in House of Mystery 156, DC Comics, January 1966, because now we're in the Silver Age, so now this makes sense.
Okay. All right.
In case of misdial, please hang up and dial again. His quote here is Sakamaji. It is dial H for hero. Now, I know. Now, isn't there a modern day? I think there's a modern day one of that, but this isn't it. This is the 1960s version. Okay, so superhero comics were enjoying a boom in the mid-1960s. And for a brief period, the multitudes of costume crime fighters were nowhere more abundant than in the pages of House of Mystery. Formerly an anthology comic focusing on horror, science fiction, and fantasy stories, the title was briefly converted into a superhero book to accommodate the expanding market. It was in this environment that bespectacled young science whiz Robbie Reed found himself stumbling into a secret cave on the outskirts of Littleville, USA, discovering an alien device resembling something like a phone dial attached to a golden tuna can. Hidden deep within, Robbie gave the machine a tentative spin, spelling H-E-R-O, hero, on the dial. The boy finds himself transformed, not just into a single hero, but into a succession of superheroes, each one stranger than the last. In a typical issue, Robbie would transform into as many as three unique and never-before-seen superheroes, each with distinct names, powers, and costumes. Some of the more traditional heroes created by the H-Dial included the Titanic Giant Boy, the Dazzling Cometeer, and the bewildering Hypno-Man. Its weirder inventions seemed to imply that the alien device possessed something of a wicked sense of humor. On various occasions, Robbie found himself transformed into such unlikely super characters as the sweets-themed King Candy, the unsettling human starfish, and Mighty Moppet, a cape-wearing baby who fought villains with a magic milk bottle. Even existing superheroes were fair game.
Baby with a bottle. Hyperman.
No. It's Mighty Moppet, a cape wearing baby, mind you.
It's the Mighty Heroes.
See?
Hyperman.
Well, like he said. Right, but look, they're all up for grabs, according to him. All the superheroes are fair game. In one adventure, using the dial, changed the youngster into a duplicate of Plastic Man, a once popular character who had recently been acquired by DC Comics. Dial H for Hero didn't quite make it through 20 issues before the tank began to run dry. The demand in every issue for weird new superheroes led to the reappearance of earlier characters and the creation of some memorably infamous incarnations, including Who's It, What's It, and How's It, who were essentially superpowered shapes. The concept returned in the 1980s, see? This time, the writers lightened their burden by inviting readers to submit their own ideas for heroic transformations. Fans rose to the occasion and generated such agreeably entertaining identities as Teleman, Captain Electron, Vibro the Quakemaster, Puma the She-Cat, and Glasslass. Since then, H-Dial has been mostly dormant, although it periodically pops up in an occasional new series, always in the hands of a new user. Okay. And from the modern age.
Hell yes. This give you heat. Diaper Man? You mean Old Man Bob?
That's right. Let me just make sure I gotta before I log out. Oops. Hold on, I just gotta do this. So no longer idle. I just checked. I had 1 second before I was gonna be disconnected. In like no, I could. I was touching. I was like nothing was working. I had to. I'm slamming on this. If you hear that typing, I'm slamming on the space bar so I could jump. I was like, yeah, and I jumped for like 1 second. The countdown was going 3, 2. Whoa, okay, you're safe. I was like, Jesus. I just need a drink. Okay. Hey, I'm old man Bob. What'd you say? I'm in this game. I remember being here.
It's not a diaper.
It's not a diaper. Why is that the plastic things on the end? Shut up. Okay. So here we go. All right. So this character was created by Len Wein and Steve Irwin. Debuted in Deathstroke Annual Number 2 back in DC Comics, October 1993. Caliber is low. The quote here is, "You gorillas can stuff those cannons sideways." The name? Gunfire. On the comic book cover, it says he doesn't need a weapon. He is a weapon. In the early 1990s, a new wave of comic book heroes arrived on the scene. Until this time, superheroes published by DC Comics had earned a reputation, justified or not, as being the squeaky clean heroes. Marvels were seen to be more like regular people. But the new breed of superheroes emerging from Image Comics was considered cutting edge. Compared to Image's hardcore, often vicious, and generally lethal breed of heroes, typically with names beginning and or ending with blood, kill, and death. DC's characters seemed at least 30 years past their heyday. In response came Bloodlines, a story arc.
Oh, I remember this.
That crossed dozens of DC titles and dramatically increased the company's roster with a few dozen new grim, edgy, and bloodthirsty heroes. Heroes like Gunfire, along with his fellow New Blood heroes. Gunfire was the victim of an attack by giant alien parasites who fed on the spinal fluid of human beings. A small percentage of the parasite's victims not only survived the experience, but also developed superpowers thanks to some X factor in their genetic makeup. Each emerged with a different ability. In Gunfire's case, that power was simultaneously deadly and absurd. Anything in his hands becomes a gun, whether a block of wood, a coffee mug, a stapler, a toilet seat lid, whatever Gunfire gets his hands on, transforms itself into a firearm that, incidentally, shoots concussive force beams rather than bullets. Gunfire was a short-lived and awkward concept, but he wasn't alone. His Bloodlines peers included Anima, a magical grunge rocker, Mongrel, a young half-Vietnamese, half-African-American who possessed something called a Dark Force, a rampaging Hulk-like man-monster named Loose Cannon, Gloria, and Razor Sharp, superheroines who could turn themselves into some form of living metal, and Geist, the Twilight Man, a hero who was invisible except when immersed in absolute darkness. But everyone's invisible in the dark, aren't they? These newborn heroes all had, quote-unquote, radical names like Jam, Hook, Ballistic, Nightblade, and Shadowstrike. Naturally, Gunfire had an opposite number named Ricochet. Other foes included Purge, Maraud, Ragnarok, and the most ill-conceived pseudonym of them all, Blowout. Yeah, I can see it. Gunfire ended up a casualty in one of those all-out superhero supervillain brawls that seemed to be a constant in comics. In a distinctly satirical follow-up story, an inheritor of Gunfire's superpowers accidentally converts his own posterior into a live grenade and blows himself to pieces. Okay. And with that, I slammed the book shut. On the
it
lead.
Was actually out of all of the new blood, there was only one that actually had life after Final Crisis.
Right.
I say that because Final Crisis, there's this one scene where you have all the
Bloodline. Right.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, but there was one scene in the Final Crisis where they had all the bloodlines and immediately gets wiped out except for one. And that's the one called Hitman.
Okay.
If memory serves me right.
Well, look at what happened. I was going to say, look at what they did with DC Do with Heavy Metal. They had old, remember those hero books that came out? It was supposed to be their age of new heroes. All those books are gone now. That whole line ended.
Yep.
Have you noticed that? Because it's like, if you look at it, it's like each one of them is a clone. I was talking to a comic book guy, a comic shop owner. He goes, think about it. Each of the, look at what each of them does. Each of them is just a version of a hero that exists either in Marvel or DC. And well, people are like, well, why do I need to buy this? It's just a repeat. It's just a clone of an existing hero. Who does it better?
Right. But,
I was going to say the one who survived, I can't remember which one survived. I think he joined another team. I think the Terrifics lasted the longest out of all of them, but eventually they fizzled out.
Yeah, but Hitman, if memory serves me right, he was basically a merc who was granted X-ray vision and some telepathy. So basically, while he's hunting you down, he's going like, I see you. Oh, you're going to do this? I don't think so.
You can't hide from me.
But like I said, you know, he was the only one that really lasted past. He had a couple of, you know, four-issue series and was brought into, like, Batman a couple of times. But, you know, that was pretty much it.
Okay. Yeah, well, here it is. I got this article about 1993 DC Comics story arc. It was 1993's comic book. This is Wikipedia. Published by DC Comics. It was an intercompany crossover that ran through DC's superhero annuals and concluded with a two-issue Bloodbath miniseries written by Dan Raspier. The antagonists were a race of monstrous dragon-like aliens who killed humans for their spinal fluid. A small fraction of the parasite's victims survived and became superheroes via their ordeal. The plot device introduced a new wave of, like we said, new blood superheroes into the DC universe. Seven DC comic series were spun out of the event. Blood Pack, Razor Sharp, and the Cyber Rats, Hitman, Anima, Loose Cannon, Argus and Gunfire.
Mm-hmm.
There you
yeah,
go.
But like I said, yeah, but like I said, out of all of them, Hitman lasted the longest.
I don't know if he's still in use. Right. But I was going to say, during the New 52, as part of the New 52, the Bloodlines crossover was revamped and integrated as a six-issue miniseries when a meteor crashes to Earth, bringing with it an unspeakable alien presence that terrorizes a nearby small town. The lucky ones die first. As for the rest, they find themselves locked in a hellish struggle for control of their bodies and their minds. Okay. Well, there you go. Well, there were four chapter orders. Outbreak, Earth Plague, let's see here, Deathstorm, and then Bloodbath, if I read that. Or is it Outbreak, Deathstorm, Earth Plague? Oh, here it is. Outbreak. I had to write the first time. Outbreak, Earthquake, Deathstorm, and Bloodbath. I'm just looking at.
I'm coming back.
Okay, so you had to read all 24 annuals.
Oh, yeah.
That's what's funny. You had to get all 24 annuals to read this thing. And then the bloodbath, the two-part bloodbath part two. See, that is ridiculous when they do that shit.
Well, it for a while, it was the annuals that, instead of bringing all the books together, they just used the annuals.
Right. Oh, but nowadays, DC is just ridiculous. Nowadays, it's like, oh, no, you've got to read every one of their books.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't do it, and they don't do it sporadically anymore. It's like the Year of the Villain. That went on for like 6-7 months.
Mm-hmm.
The whole thing with the Batman Who Laughs, that went on for like 2 or 3 years where everybody, they were forcing everybody to buy everything.
Mm-hmm. And Marvel wasn't, you know, just as bad, but the, you know, instead of tying all the books in, they had like, I still remember it was like 1 year you were tied up with four particular books, annuals, to get one story.
Right.
Another four to get another story. Another four to get another
right.
story.
Well, the way they did it is they had the main story, right, which you could just read, and then you could get, like for now, right now they're doing Devil's Reign, mm-hmm. which is the main one. You could read that, and then you could get all the sub ones. And I remember I asked my comic book store, they'd had X-Men, Devil's Reign 1 through 3, and they decided to give me Devil's Reign. And we're not giving you everything, we're just giving you the main story. Well, great. Except I'm missing issue number 1 and issue number 5.
Mm-hmm.
And supposedly
the
6th one came out.
DC's most notorious one is Armageddon 2001, because everyone figured it out halfway through who is the Monarch.
Well, you know what's funny is
they chased it at the last second.
Well, they had to. When they announced the Civil War between Iron Man and Captain America, mm-hmm. I was sitting there at a convention, and I said, "You know what? Marvel is so friggin' predictable with this thing, right? I'm going to tell you how it's going to end right now, and I will throw money on it." And one of the artists, he's swearing up and down, I promise you that's not how it's going to end. They aren't going to do something that predictable. And the more I'm saying this and the more he's saying it, it's like, you know what? It's so predictable, Marvel's going to do it. Because this is how Marvel operates. It's so predictable. Oh, they won't do it because it's so predictable. Yes, they will. Because the more predictable it is, the more they'll go with it. Because they're like, oh, it's so predictable. No, we'll predict it. Yeah, well, some guy who's a part-time writer on Long Island figured this out 2 months before, well, I think a month into it, or right as it started. And that ending, if you don't know how it ended, I'm going to tell you how it ended. So, of course, naturally, it's got to come down to the two leaders, the opposing sides, Iron Man, Captain America. And they're fighting it out in the streets, right? And, of course, they're destroying the city. And all of a sudden, they look around, and he goes, stop. Tony, we got to stop. What? Look around. The people are staring. Yeah? He goes, what are you staring at? He goes, well, what's the point of all this? What do you mean? Well, you're heroes. And what was the point of this Registration Act? Well, to cut down the violence and this and that. He goes, but Iron Man, you and Captain America are causing more damage than anything, than any villain ever has. I mean, you guys are heroes, and you're fighting to prove who's right. Mm-hmm. And so I said, you know, Tony Stark has ego. He wouldn't do it. So, of course, Captain America had to do it, drops his shield, drops to his knees. Tony, I do this for the betterment of the people. I do this for the people. Only them, not you. I surrender. And that's how it ends. So technically, Team Iron Man wins, but it's more like Captain America forfeits because it's the right thing to do for the people. And then eventually the whole Registration Act is blown up because it turns out that Norman Osborn like convinced Stark it was a good idea. Like, you know, he just became puppet of like Norman Osborn because then they had the Dark Avengers. Like, and it was like, wait a minute. Why do I have a feeling this Registration Act? And if you remember, Peter Parker came out and admitted and told the world he was Spider-Man during the Registration Act.
Yep. I still say that, you know, if anything, they made the perfect scene right there. J. Jonah Jameson looking at the screen going like, now we get to find out who this guy is. Hi, my name is Peter Parker. Fuck!
What?
Fuck!
What?
He passes out.
Yeah, that was great. I at the comic shop, somebody let me read it, just that scene. I'm like, just for that scene, it was worth reading. But to me, it was just too much of a crossover. It was just like, and then I remember for a while, every crossover, they had the Gazetteer thing, the whatever it is, that newspaper that ran, that fictitious newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
And you had these reporters like reporting stories that had nothing to do with the main story. It was how the people of the city were affected by the events. Like the quote unquote human interest stories. Okay. It's 9:27. So let's wrap things up here.
Because
coming up next on dawnradio.org. Embrace the dawn.
Not live.
Oh shit. I said, sorry. Dawnradio.live. I told you my suck day continued. At dawnradio.live, where you should embrace the dawn. I got the catchphrase right.
Yeah.
Embrace the dawn. The greatest generation podcast. Do we know what episode is on tonight?
We're getting
okay,
closer.
So Star Trek.
It's
yes.
Star Trek Voyager. We are getting closer to the episode everyone's waiting for. We're not there yet.
Oh. What's her name when she finally
seven
shows
of,
up?
Yeah. 7 of 9 has not
we're
shown up yet.
We're 60 of 9. I mean, 7 of 9 shows up.
It's like, I have a funny feeling. Once that episode gets, I'm going to say, this is it. All of a sudden. Okay. Now we'll pay attention.
Yep. Cause I think at that point, the ratings went up for that show big time.
Oh yeah. Okay, and I am I'm all loaded up for it.
Okay, so I'm going to let you get out of here. I'm going to log off. I'm going to thank everybody for tuning in tonight. You guys rock. Oh, we got 90 seconds. Without you guys, it would just be me and Med Viking talking about stuff we talk about all the time anyway. And I will see you guys next Monday. But stick around. Go back to dawnradio.live for their whole menu of DJs coming up this week. They are truly awesome, and I will see you guys next Monday. Don't forget, keep watching those superhero TV shows, those movies, Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness coming out soon. Read those comic books and those superhero novels if you have any, and I'll see you next week for Paragon Radio Monday night. Stay super. Anything you'd like to say in closing, Mad Viking, really quickly?
Say goodnight, Gracie.
Goodnight, Gracie. All right. There we go. I'll leave you with a big one. All right. I'm out of here. Good night, everybody. See you next week. Good night. Great job tonight. Thank you. Bye.